The Future of Sport and Recreation for Disabled New Zealanders 2025. Adapted in 2025 by accessible format service Blind Low Vision New Zealand, Auckland. There is a logo at the top of the page, Sport New Zealand Ihi Aotearoa. The full report, a PDF, is published on Sport NZ website at https://sportnz.org.nz/futures/disability-report. Contents. Report overview. How to use this report. Key findings. 6 opportunities detailed. Leadership mindset shift. Partnering. System leadership. System capability. System leadership. Technological and digital access. Organisational focus. Agility. Organisational focus. And individual and collective focus. Organisational focus. Disability sport and recreation sector overview. What are we currently seeing? Increased value and visibility of Paralympic sport. What the disability community think will happen in the future based on these surveyed. Most impactful disruptors to disability sport / recreation. Alternative futures. Scenario A, growth. Scenario B, discipline. Scenario C, collapse. Scenario D, transformation. Key capabilities. Summary of action areas for disability sport and recreation. Appendix 1, scenarios. Scenario 1, growth. Scenario 2, discipline. Scenario 3, collapse. And scenario 4, transformation. Report overview. Sport New Zealand, in partnership with Helberg Foundation, Helberg, Paralympics New Zealand, PNZ, and Special Olympics New Zealand, SONZ, initiated a strategic foresight process to better understand and address the current and future challenges faced by disabled New Zealanders in accessing and participating in sport and recreation activities. Recent statistics reveal that nearly one-third, 29% of disabled people have conditions characterised as other cause, including autism, spectrum disorders, ADHD, developmental delays, dyslexia, and dyspraxia. Note 1, click on the link https://invisibledisabilities.org/. Additionally, 8% of children have psychological or psychiatric impairments, surpassing the combined percentage of those with sensory, 2%, intellectual, 2%, and physical impairments, 1%. Note 2, Statistics New Zealand 2013 Disability Survey. These figures highlight the prevalence of invisible disabilities, which often lead to misunderstandings and false perceptions, and represent a further set of challenges for the sector to respond to, beyond more narrowly defined or typical responses to disability inclusion. The strategic foresight process aimed to improve future resilience of organisations working in the provision of disability sport and recreation by 1. Challenging existing assumptions that may be shaping strategic decision-making in disability sport and recreation. 2. Identifying emerging trends and transformations that may impact the future operating environment of disability sport and recreation. And 3. Exploring alternative future scenarios to broaden thinking and potential responses beyond a single assumed future. Through surveys, workshops, and expert consultations, the process focused on a 5 to 10 year outlook to develop strategies for more effective and inclusive sport and recreation opportunities for disabled people in New Zealand. The resulting report summarises and analyses the strategic foresight process. While not exclusively applicable to the partnering organisations, the findings aim to assign action items to appropriate entities within the sector, addressing the disparities in health, well-being and quality of life outcomes experienced by disabled people. This collaborative effort seeks to chart a path forward that acknowledges the diverse needs of disabled people and aims to improve their access to quality sport and recreation experiences, potentially impacting their educational outcomes, future employment prospects, and overall life trajectories. Note 3. Expert Advisory Group on Solutions to Child Poverty, 2012, Working Paper No. 21, Child Poverty and Disability, accessed from http://www.occ.org.nz/assets/uploads/eag/working-papers/number-21-child-poverty-and-disability.pdf. How to use this report. Strategic alignment. Analyse how the scenarios and drivers align with or challenge your current strategy. Identify areas that may need adjustment or rethinking. Develop contingency plans. Create specific action plans for each scenario to ensure you can respond quickly if certain futures start to materialise. Identify early warning indicators. Determine key signals or metrics that would indicate which scenario is becoming more likely. Set up a system to monitor these indicators regularly. Assess organisational capabilities. Evaluate whether your organisation and constituency have the skills, resources and structures needed to thrive in different potential futures. Identify capability gaps that need to be addressed. Prioritise strategic initiatives. Use the scenarios to inform which projects or initiatives should be prioritised based on their relevance and potential impact across multiple futures. Refine risk management strategies. Update risk assessments and mitigation plans based on the identified drivers of change and potential future scenarios. Enhance organisational agility. Develop processes and systems that allow for quick adaptation to changing circumstances as highlighted by the scenario analysis. Stress test major decisions. When making significant strategic decisions, evaluate how they would perform under different scenario conditions. Foster a future-oriented culture. Encourage your employees and stakeholders to think longer term and consider multiple possible futures in their decision making. Challenge your assumptions. Use the report to identify and discuss assumptions you have about the future and assess and monitor the level of confidence you have in the assumption being accurate. Strategic conversations. Use the implications and critical questions from the drivers and scenarios to facilitate conversations with colleagues and the sector to extend your understanding of plausible future states and how you might respond. Key findings. The disability sport and recreation sector in New Zealand, like society in general, needs to adapt to future uncertainties to remain resilient. Exploring various future scenarios is a useful means for anticipating challenges and identifying opportunities, enabling better preparedness. The process examined the current and future roles of organisations including Sport NZ, Halberg, PNZ and SONZ and regional disability sport organisations in meeting the sport and recreation aspirations of disabled New Zealanders. Many findings corroborate earlier sector reviews, notably the comprehensive 2018 review of disability active recreation and sport, indicating persistent challenges. Note 4. Coburn, Atkinson, Disability Sport and Recreation, 2018, click on the link https://tinyurl.com/yxavehmk. Identifying the fundamental issues facing the sector is critical for effective problem solving. These include recognising and addressing attitudinal and behavioural obstacles, openness to new approaches for reaching disabled New Zealanders, and employing a more coordinated and collaborative delivery approach to negate disability being viewed as an add-on to already full mandates. This process identified opportunities aligned with the 2019 Sport NZ Disability Plan's focus areas. Note 5, Sport NZ Disability Plan 2019, click on the link https://tinyurl.com/3ukm8rxp. Notably, in the areas of working in partnership and building system-wide capability. These findings underscore the need for a proactive, collaborative approach to shape the future of disability sport and recreation in New Zealand, emphasising adaptability, inclusivity and systemic improvements. Critically, these opportunities and audience for this report extend beyond the focus on the disability sport and recreation sector and needs to include the wider sport and recreation sector. 6 key opportunities for disability sport and recreation. Organisational. 1. Technology and digital engagement. 2. Agility, responsiveness. And 3. Individual and collective. System leadership. 1. System capability, effectiveness. 2. Partnering, connection. Mindset shift. Leadership, mental models. 6 opportunities detailed. Leadership, mindset shift. There is a significant opportunity for stronger leadership to transform the delivery of services and support to disability sport and recreation. This report reinforces challenges and opportunities raised in previous reviews of disability sport and recreation. Sport and recreation leaders must challenge entrenched mental models about disability and be open to new approaches, engaging with unheard voices and implementing innovative solutions. This is particularly important in areas like neurodiversity, where our understanding has improved but our response has lagged. Strong leadership is needed to question existing practices, advocate for the unrepresented, and drive meaningful change in how services are conceived and delivered. By focusing on these areas, leaders can work towards transforming the design and delivery of services and support for disability sport and recreation, ultimately providing better opportunities for disabled young people to participate and excel in sport and recreation activities of their choice. Leaders must take the initiative to raise awareness about available opportunities, co-develop and co-produce inclusive strategies, and ensure active participation of individuals with diverse abilities in policy-making processes and resource allocation decisions. Opportunities. 1. Implement extensive inclusion training for directors, coaches, volunteers, and stakeholders to enhance their understanding of disability awareness and inclusive practices. 2. Continue to grow meaningful participation and leadership of disabled young people. 3. Continue to actively grow involvement of disabled young people in the policy-making process to ensure that voices are heard and their needs are addressed. 4. Advocate for better representation of the disabled community within the sport and recreation workforce, currently only 3.4%. And 5. Organise forums, surveys and focus groups to continuously gather feedback from disabled young participants and non-participants, their families and service providers to inform ongoing improvements. Sport New Zealand specific. 1. Evolve and implement 2019 Disability Plan. 2. Integrate Disability Plan across Sport NZ strategy and operations. 3. Seek inclusive outcomes for disabled people from sport and recreation investment partners. And 4. Advocate for disability across local and central government. Partnering. System leadership. Sport NZ has a significant opportunity to expand and diversify its investment partnerships to better impact disabled young people, while maintaining strong relationships with existing disability sport and recreation organisations. There is a critical need to broaden collaboration with a wider range of disability-focused entities. By partnering with other organisations, Sport NZ can address a broader spectrum of disability beyond physical impairments, ensuring more inclusive representation. Current focus and investment are weighted toward physical impairments, but non-physical impairments are more prevalent among young people, especially those 0 to 14. These include learning, psychological stroke, psychiatric, and speaking difficulties, often referred to as invisible impairments. Collaborating with local government and community-based providers can create a more inclusive system by facilitating relationships at the community level and establishing communities of practice. Utilising established community systems such as play advocates, sports organisations, regional sports trusts and councils can enhance the reach and effectiveness of initiatives. To support this revised partnering approach, Sport NZ should consider implementing more flexible funding models that can support tailored, responsive solutions. This would allow for the development of programs and initiatives that are better suited to the diverse needs of disabled people. Opportunities. 1. Collaborate with healthcare providers, schools, disability organisations and community organisations to expand reach and share resources. 2. Co-design initiatives with disabled people. And 3. Regional disability sport organisations continue to work with local and regional councils and RSTs to improve access to local spaces and places. Sport NZ specific. 1. Develop new relationships with organisations who deliver quality experiences to disabled people. 2. Review and align expectations of existing sport and recreation partners to Sport NZ Disability Plan. And 3. Leverage existing cross-government relationships to promote the value of sport and recreation for disabled people. System capability. System leadership. A systems approach is essential for promoting inclusivity in sport and recreation for disabled people. This approach involves aligning stakeholders to build a shared purpose, reforming policies to create a supportive framework, facilitating information sharing and innovation, networking for knowledge exchange, providing flexible funding to support systemic change, and prioritising continuous improvement through regular evaluation. Implementation strategies include empowering regional disability sport organisations to lead local initiatives, launching public campaigns to shift societal perceptions, advocating for inclusive policies within national sports bodies, engaging less active disabled individuals, and developing leadership programs for disabled people. By addressing the root causes of exclusion, this approach fosters a society that views disability through the lens of ability and potential, ultimately improving access and overall inclusivity. Opportunities. 1. Establish knowledge sharing platforms and share best practices for inclusive programming. 2. Advocate for inclusive strategies, policies and participation structures within national sport and recreation organisations. 3. Implement public education campaigns on the benefits of inclusive sport and recreation. And 4. Use media partnerships to increase visibility and representation of disability across the sport and recreation sector. Sport NZ specific. 1. Develop funding models that prioritise a strategic approach to inclusion and inclusive initiatives for disabled people. And 2. Undertake continuous monitoring and evaluation of participation levels and distill evidence-based insights to the sector. Technological and digital access. Organisational focus. To enhance future resilience, disability sport and recreation organisations must develop strong technological and digital accessibility expertise. Key areas include implementing assistive technologies, virtual augmented reality, and AI-powered systems to improve participation and personalise experiences. Creating accessible digital platforms adhering to international standards is crucial for equitable access. Utilising data analytics and AI for personalised coaching needs and performance tracking will better serve diverse needs. Cybersecurity and data privacy skills are essential to protect sensitive information. Integrating wearable technologies will help monitor health, safety, and performance. Cloud-based solutions will enable efficient data management and remote access. Effective use of social media and digital marketing tools will raise awareness and promote inclusive programs. Expertise in adaptive equipment and technology specific to various activities is crucial. Creating inclusive virtual training environments and esports platforms will expand participation opportunities. Addressing the digital divide by ensuring affordable and accessible technologies will promote inclusivity. Balancing evolving technologies with in-person interactions remains an ongoing challenge. By focusing on these areas, organisations can enhance accessibility, create engaging experiences, and remain relevant in an increasingly digital world. Opportunities. 1. Partner with technology companies to create and distribute wearable devices specifically designed for disabled participants to enhance motivation and engagement. 2. utilize social media platforms and free content management systems to create an online presence, share information, and engage with participants. 3. Adopt free, open-source solutions for event management, participant registration, and data tracking to improve organizational efficiency. 4. Encourage participants, volunteers, and staff to create and share content about their experiences, which can be used for promotion and awareness raising. And 5. Implement existing free or low-cost mobile apps to help disabled athletes and participants monitor their progress and access training resources. Sport NZ specific. 1. Explore development of virtual reality and augmented reality training modules for coaches, volunteers, and participants to improve skills and understanding of various adaptive sports and activities. 2. Explore a secure, cloud-based solution for efficient data management and remote access, allowing organizations to easily share and analyze information across the sector. 3. Develop comprehensive guidelines and provide training on cybersecurity and data privacy best practices for all disability sport and recreation organizations to ensure the protection of sensitive information. 4. Create a suite of digital marketing tools and resources, including social media templates and best practices, to help organizations effectively promote their programs and raise awareness. And 5. Offer comprehensive training on digital accessibility best practices, including content creation and assistive technology implementation. Agility, organizational focus. The disability sport and recreation sector, like sport and recreation in general, must prioritise agility to remain effective and relevant in a rapidly changing environment. This strategic foresight process highlights several key reasons why agility is crucial. The sector needs to integrate new technologies like virtual reality, augmented reality, and AI-powered training systems to enhance accessibility and participation opportunities for people with disabilities. Changes in work patterns, economic conditions, and social attitudes require the sector to quickly adjust its programs and delivery methods to meet evolving needs. With uncertain economic times and changing funding landscapes, organizations must be able to explore innovative funding models and partnerships to ensure sustainable operations. The sector must be flexible in creating programs that cater to a wide range of disabilities, including emerging awareness of neurodiversity and invisible disabilities. Agility is needed to form and maintain partnerships with various stakeholders, including healthcare providers, education institutions, and technology companies. The sector must be ready to offer hybrid models of participation, combining in-person and virtual experiences to maximize inclusivity. Continuous learning and adaption are necessary to keep staff and volunteers skilled in the latest inclusive practices and technologies. The sector must be prepared to address emerging ethical issues related to technological enhancements and genetic engineering in sport and recreation. By prioritising agility, the disability sport and recreation sector can better navigate these challenges, seize new opportunities, and continue to provide valuable, inclusive experiences for disabled young people. Opportunities. 1. Create modular program structures that can be easily adapted to different delivery methods, in-person, virtual, or hybrid. 2. Implement a regular training program for staff and volunteers on inclusive practices and emerging technologies. And 3. Continue to actively promote and foster a culture of innovation. Sport NZ specific. 1. Develop and deliver, via third parties, comprehensive training programs for staff and volunteers of disability sport and recreation organizations, focusing on inclusive practices, emerging technologies, and agile management approaches. 2. Use its network and influence to foster partnerships between disability sport and recreation organizations and other stakeholders such as healthcare providers, education institutions, and technology companies. 3. continue to evolve the Inclusivity Hub to encourage disability sport and recreation organisations to share best practices, resources and innovative solutions. And 4, continue to conduct regular surveys and research studies to gather data on participation rates, barriers and emerging trends in disability sport and recreation. Individual and collective focus. Organisational focus. Sport NZ, Halberg, PNZ, SONZ and national and regional disability sport organisations acknowledge the need for improved efficiency and collaboration within the disability sport and recreation sector and across the sport and recreation sector. They recognise that this can be achieved without structural changes by implementing several key strategies. Role clarity is essential, with organisations conducting workshops to define each entity's unique mandate and encourage specialisation. This approach will reduce duplication and allow focus on individual strengths. Strategic planning should be aligned across organisations to complement rather than compete. Platforms for sharing specialised knowledge can be created without diluting core focus areas. Collaboration is crucial, with joint strategic planning sessions and regular inter-organisational meetings enhancing communication and identifying common goals. Sharing resources, expertise, and exploring coordinated funding strategies can maximise impact. The sector must work towards a unified narrative by aligning diverse perspectives and developing a common understanding of challenges and goals. A universal message should emphasise how an inclusive sport and recreation sector benefits everyone. Public education campaigns can inform stakeholders about each organisation's contributions, and inter-organisational referral systems can be established for specific needs. Strengthening regional collaboration networks and implementing leadership programmes emphasising cross-organisational skills can improve overall coordination. The sector should challenge the assumption that disability sport and recreation is a niche concern, positioning it as integral to the broader sport and recreation landscape. Opportunities. 1. Align strategic planning across organisations to ensure complementary rather than competing efforts. 2. Establish systems to refer inquiries or requests to the most appropriate organisation based on their defined roles. 3. Identify opportunities for joint projects that leverage each organisation's strengths and resources. 4. Explore ways to share resources, expertise and best practice across disability sport and recreation. 5. Strengthen regional networks to ensure consistent approaches and avoid duplication at the local level. And 6. Develop strategies to effectively communicate the sector's unified message to all levels, from government officials to grassroots participants. Sport NZ specific. 1. Organise and lead workshops for disability sport and recreation organisations to help define each entity's unique mandate and areas of specialisation. 2. Organise and lead workshops for NSOs and RSTs to help define how each sector operates in disability sport and recreation. 3. Offer funding or other incentives for joint projects that leverage each organisation's strengths and resources. And 4. Support the development and strengthening of regional networks to ensure consistent approaches and avoid duplication at the local level. Disability Sport and Recreation Sector Overview. Note 6, McBean, Townsend, Petrie. An Historical Analysis of Disability Sport Policy in Aotearoa, New Zealand, 2022. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/y499vsrm. Where have we come from? 1937. The Physical Welfare and Recreation Act was passed, establishing the National Council of Physical Welfare and Recreation to provide advice on sports provision, including for disabled people. This marked the beginning of government involvement in disability sport, but largely reflected a medical model of disability and a deficit view focusing on fixing or improving individuals with impairments. 1960s. Community-led disability sport organisations like Paralympics New Zealand and regional parafeds were established to provide dedicated opportunities as national sports organisations and government neglected disability sport. The Halberg Trust was launched in 1963 to enhance the lives of physically disabled young New Zealanders through sport and recreation. 1973. The Recreation and Sport Act created a new Ministry and Council for Recreation and Sport and the Advisory Committee on Recreation for the Disabled, ACORD, to advise on Halberg, PNZ, Parafeds and SONZ. This signalled a shift towards a social model of disability. However, ACORD's impact was limited, and Halberg, PNZ, Parafeds and SONZ remained marginalised. 1970s. ACORD focused on professional development for those working in disability sport and produced resources like the film The Fun Gap to raise awareness. The Commonwealth Paraplegic Games in 1974 raised awareness but failed to drive sustainable change in the sports sector. 1981. The United Nations International Year of Disabled Persons in 1981 was a call to raise awareness and understanding of disability and improve the lives of disabled people. 1 in 10 New Zealanders were identified as living with disabilities. Regional committees were established to promote their participation in normal sport, and sport deliverers became more aware of their needs. The impact of this campaign was short-lived. 1982. Special Olympics New Zealand was formed and joined the Special Olympics movement founded in 1968 by Eunice Kennedy Shriver. The movement has grown to more than 3.7 million athletes in over 170 countries in all regions of the world, providing year-round sports training, athletic competition and other related programs. 1984. The Sport on the Move report under a newly elected Labor government signalled a change in direction, disbanding the Council for Recreation and Sport and consequently ACORD, and established the Hillary Commission. Two key functions of the new commission were to facilitate equal opportunities for participation by all New Zealanders and encouraging people to make the most effective use of their abilities and aptitudes. 1998. The Hillary Commission released the No Expectations Strategy aimed at improving disability sport participation and opportunities. 2001. The New Zealand Disability Strategy was introduced to mandate government agencies to develop implementation plans to address its objectives. 2002. The Hillary Commission's successor, SPARC, used the New Zealand Disability Strategy as its disability implementation plan, but progress was hindered by a lack of capacity, resources and buy-in from mainstream sport and recreation organisations. SPARC, spelled S-P-A-R-C, appointed its first disabled board member. 2005. SPARC updated the No Exceptions Strategy with principles aligned to the New Zealand Disability Strategy. The strategy promoted an inclusive sport and recreation sector that provides opportunity for all people to participate, including disabled people, and reflected the internationally prevalent policy model of mainstream inclusiveness. A national advisory board was established in late 2005 to advise on the implementation of the strategy, and a staff member was appointed to advocate for disability issues. SPARC's key partners in the implementation of the strategy have been the Halberg Foundation, Special Olympics New Zealand, and Paralympics New Zealand. Work on the strategy focused on establishing a collaborative framework to provide a coordinated approach to delivering sport and recreation opportunities to the disabled, encouraging national sport organisations to establish disability action plans that better provided for inclusiveness within their sports, delivering training at regional level that targets teachers, coaches and club officials, promoting increased awareness of disability issues, and responsiveness to disabled people in educational and sporting settings, including encouraging local authorities and sports clubs to make existing and new facilities accessible to people with disabilities. Note 7, Sport NZ Board Paper 2008. 2007. A SPARC progress review found the No Exceptions Strategy was not being adequately implemented due to a combination of poor program design, unclear objectives, and insufficient collaboration between sector organisations. It concluded the scope of the strategy was overly ambitious and unrealistic. 2008. Spark ended the No Exceptions strategy 6 months ahead of its June 2009 finish date, with the support of SONZ and PNZ. At the same time, it discontinued the advisory committee and the senior disability advisor role with the intent of seeking advice through the Office of Disability Issues. The revised disability approach diffused responsibility across the sector through Helberg, Special Olympics New Zealand and Paralympics New Zealand and increased funding to those entities. Helberg Foundation was given responsibility for investing into the disability sector, $300,000 per annum. This approach aligned with the recently elected centre-right government's decentralised approach. Note 8, Sport NZ board paper. 2016. The Office of Disability Issues launched a refreshed New Zealand disability strategy which identifies the importance of physical activity for disabled people. 2018. Sport NZ research highlighted the lower participation rates, additional barriers and physical literacy gaps faced by disabled people in New Zealand, while also demonstrating the health and well-being benefits of active participation for this population. Note 9. Active NZ Spotlight on Disability, December 2018. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/6maww2wf. The report showed that 1 in 4 New Zealand adults, 24%, identified as disabled. 11% under 15 years old, 95,000 children are disabled, with half having conditions present from birth. And 53% of disabled people have more than one type of impairment. Sport NZ commissioned a disability review following concerns about lack of leadership from the disability sector. The review found that New Zealanders with disabilities continued to have less involvement in sport and active recreation than their able-bodied counterparts. It also identified providers of disability sport and recreation expected Sport NZ to take on a stronger leadership role and that roles and responsibilities within the sector were unclear. The review promoted the need to establish enabling attitudes and increase capability through knowledge sharing, workforce development and partnerships between disability and sport/recreation sectors. Note 10. Coburn, Atkinson, Disability Sport and Recreation, 2018. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/yxavehmk. 2019. In response to the review, Sport NZ initiated a disability plan to address the issues identified in the review, had investment approved to implement the plan, and recruited a disability consultant to lead the implementation. The main intent of Sport NZ's disability plan is to transform opportunities in play, active recreation and sport for disabled people, and create an equitable system where disabled people have equal opportunities to achieve their goals and aspirations. It seeks to build system-wide capability through investing in partnerships, funds, and programs supporting disabled children. $7 million was committed to the plan over 3 years. A 2024 report on the implementation of the plan showed progress to have been modest. More staff dedicated to fostering an inclusive environment have been hired, and Sport NZ has strengthened relationships with Ministry of Disabled People, FICAHA, and has established a Disability Inclusion Fund. The persistence of ableist attitudes within sport and recreation organisations remain significant barriers, and the gap between opportunity and take-up is large. 2020. Sport NZ stopped putting No Exceptions investment through the Helberg Foundation and was redirected to a Sport NZ disability fund aligned with its disability plan. 2020 to 2024. COVID-19 prompted a new government funding initiative, Strengthen and Adapt, to support the sector's recovery, including the disability sport and recreation sector. Paralympics NZ were part of the first wave of organisations to benefit from the new funding, with Helberg Foundation and Special Olympics NZ part of Wave 2. In September 2024, Sport NZ published progress on its disability plan. It promoted definitive steps towards becoming a more inclusive sector. More organisations are providing adapted activities, inclusion training, accessible facilities, and tailored events and programmes than ever before. However, it also acknowledged more work is needed to create better experiences for disabled people as they continue to participate less often and have poorer experiences than their non-disabled peers. What are we currently seeing? Increased value and visibility of Paralympic sport. Disability sport is experiencing advances like those in women's sport, including a higher profile, more equitable financial rewards, and greater media coverage. Events like the 2022 Commonwealth Games have provided equal opportunities for both women and men, as well as medal events for para sports. Global inclusion efforts. There is a worldwide movement to address equity, diversity, inclusion, and accessibility in sport. This includes increasing Special Olympics unified sports opportunities and fostering closer collaboration between the IOC and International Paralympic Committee. Technological advances. Major improvements in prosthetics, wheelchair technology, and other assistive devices continue to transform the sport and recreation arena for athletes and participants with disabilities, enabling unprecedented athletic achievements for those who can afford it. Specialised prosthesis and sports wheelchairs made of lightweight composite materials have significantly improved performance and reduced injuries for amputee and wheelchair athletes. These technology advances will also assist accessibility and quality of experience and recreation. Access to this technology is expensive and therefore limited. Neurodiversity awareness. There is growing awareness of neurodiversity, with autism, ADHD and dyslexia being positioned as normal variations in the human genome, rather than disorders to be cured. 1 in 5 New Zealanders are neurodivergent. Note 11, Statistics NZ 2013 Disability Survey. This growing awareness has yet to be reflected in sport and recreation resourcing or support. Physical activity in the school setting. Disabled youth in New Zealand have lower physical activity levels and are less likely to be involved in sport and recreation compared to their non-disabled peers. They experience barriers to participation across school and in the community, suggesting opportunities remain to improve the design and delivery of opportunities in a more inclusive manner. Note 12, Health NZ 2022/23, New Zealand Health Survey. Government funding and support. The 2024 New Zealand budget allocated $1.1 billion over 5 years to support disabled people and ensure the Ministry of Disabled People, Faikaha, can continue delivering critical disability support services. This funding aims to address demand and cost pressures on various disability support services, including home and community support, respite care, and environmental support services. Furthermore, the government announced an independent review into the disability support system, including exploring the purpose of different funding streams within disability support services and the appropriate level of flexibility for each. Ongoing challenges. While societal attitudes towards diversity and inclusion have become more accepting and progressive, prejudice and pushback persist. Cultural divides and a polarisation of views on societal values and social justice mean they are becoming increasingly politicised and complex issues to navigate, challenging organisations to create inclusive and equitable outcomes. There is also a social lag between cultural attitudes towards disability and progressive social legislation. The maintenance of disability sport and recreation faces significant challenges, including limited funding and resources compared to mainstream sport and recreation, a lack of systematic linkages between outcomes, investments and programs, and the persistence of ableist attitudes within sport organisations. What the disability community think will happen in the future, based on those surveyed. A survey of over 100 participants, mostly working in or members of traditional disability sport and recreation organisations, identified how people are thinking about the future of disability sport and recreation. This is what we generally think will happen if there is limited change, is not radically different from today, and is derived from what we see in the world around us. Analysis of the survey identified the critical assumptions that are informing decisions and aspirations. Identifying these assumptions invites exploration about whether they are accurate and helping the sector progress or holding it back. Recognizing assumptions as just that, rather than facts, is crucial for preparing for unexpected possibilities and addressing unforeseen challenges. If things are going well for disability sport and recreation, it is assumed mainstream integration. Greater inclusion of disability sport and recreation opportunities and pathways within mainstream organisations, clubs, facilities and community spaces is a major goal. National and regional sports bodies would be expected to have comprehensive diversity and inclusion plans with disability inclusion woven into their standard operations. Implicit assumptions. 1. There is the capacity and capability available to upskill mainstream organisations and facilities. 2. Lingering stigma would be removed through the creation of more inclusive environments. 3. Traditional sport, as opposed to recreation, is viewed as the most important channel. Pathways and opportunities. Clear pathways from grassroots participation to elite competition need to be established, offering a diverse array of sport and recreation activities catered to different abilities and interests. This includes dedicated programs, competitions, and events at local, regional, and national levels. Implicit assumption. The potential capacity and capability are available to establish clear pathways. Infrastructure and resources. Significant improvements in accessible facilities, equipment, trained staff/coaches, funding and other resources are necessary to support the growth and development of disability sport and recreation. Implicit assumptions. 1. Commitment of resources to deliver accessible infrastructure, equipment, trained staff and funding will lead to sector growth. 2. Growing organisations is viewed as the objective rather than fostering more inclusive/accessible opportunities in mainstream provision, for example, local authorities and schools. Collaboration and leadership. Enhanced collaboration, strategic alignment and effective leadership across disability sport and recreation organisations, mainstream sports bodies, government agencies and community groups is crucial for driving positive change and ensuring quality delivery. Implicit assumption. A coordinated approach across organisations will unlock efficiencies to enable more cost-effective development. Media presence and awareness. Increased media coverage, promotion and public awareness of disability sport and recreation will help raise profile, showcase achievements and foster greater understanding and acceptance within society. Implicit assumption. Media coverage and public awareness will enhance societal acceptance and improve the sector accessing resources. It is assumed the issues holding disability sport and recreation back are funding and resources. Lack of sustainable and reliable funding for disability sport and recreation organisations, programs and initiatives. Limited access to quality facilities, equipment and venues that are accessible and adapted for people with disabilities. Heavy reliance on ageing volunteers and lack of funding for staffing and professional development. Implicit assumptions. 1. More money means more/better programs. 2. The sector is financially disadvantaged as opposed to non-disabled sport and recreation. 3. Increasing facility access will increase participation. 4. The aging trend will ultimately reduce volunteers and staff, thereby impacting program delivery. And 5. Investment in staffing and professional development will improve program delivery. Accessibility and inclusion. Transport and infrastructure are physical accessibility barriers to participation. There is a lack of inclusive attitudes, awareness, and understanding within mainstream sport and recreation organizations. There are limited opportunities and pathways for disabled people, especially those with intellectual or invisible disabilities. Implicit assumptions. 1. Removal of physical barriers will increase participation. 2. Others have access and disabled people need it and want it. 3. Improving awareness and skill of sport and recreation organisations. And 4. Increased opportunities and pathways for those with intellectual or invisible disabilities will see increased participation. Collaboration and coordination. There is fragmentation and duplication of efforts among disability sport and recreation organisations, leading to inefficiencies. There is a lack of strategic alignment, communication and collaboration between national, regional and local organisations. Unclear roles and responsibilities among organisations, creating gaps in service delivery. Implicit assumptions. 1. A unified approach across organisations will unlock efficiencies to enable more cost-effective development. And 2. Service gaps and inefficiencies will be eliminated when roles are clarified. Societal attitudes and awareness. Persisting societal attitudes and lack of understanding about disability and inclusion. Limited visibility and awareness of opportunities for disabled people to participate in sport and recreation. Perception of sport as a luxury rather than a right for disabled young people. Implicit assumptions. 1. Removing negative societal views on disability will remove barriers to participation. 2. A greater awareness of the opportunities in sport and recreation will ensure higher participation rates of disabled people. And 3. The broader population has a taken-for-granted view of what constitutes necessities, luxuries and human rights. Volunteer and personnel shortages. A shortage of volunteers, trained coaches, instructors and staff knowledgeable about adapting activities for disabled young people can impact the quality and accessibility of sport and recreational programs. Implicit assumptions. 1. The demographic forces that potentially reduce volunteer availability can be overcome. And 2. Knowledge and confidence would improve attitudes towards inclusion. Priority actions. Increase visibility and awareness. Launch public awareness campaigns to challenge stigma and promote the benefits of disability sport and recreation and improve visibility of inclusive opportunities across media platforms, schools and communities. Implicit assumption. Negative societal attitudes and a lack of awareness about disability sport and recreation are major barriers. Foster collaboration and alignment. Establish forums and alliances for stakeholders to collaborate, share resources and align strategies, and clarify roles and responsibilities to reduce duplication and fragmentation across the sector. Encourage partnerships between disability organisations, sports bodies and community groups. Implicit assumption. Stronger stakeholder collaboration will lead to more efficient resource allocation and impactful strategies. Enhance accessibility and inclusion. Advocate for improved accessibility standards and funding for facility upgrades and provide inclusion training for coaches, instructors and staff. Empower disabled athletes to take on leadership roles. Implicit assumption. Continual advocacy, funding and training efforts will enhance accessibility. Prioritise grassroots participation. Focus on increasing participation through accessible local programs and community initiatives and support existing grassroots providers delivering opportunities. Develop pathways for transitioning participants into mainstream sport and recreation. Implicit assumptions. 1. Accessible local programs are crucial for increasing overall participation. And 2. It is not all about increasing funding at the top. Sustainable funding and accountability. Advocate for equitable distribution of funding based on community needs and impact and hold funded organisations accountable for delivering inclusive and quality programs. Explore policy to create accountability for inclusion across sport and recreation organisations. Implicit assumption. Securing long-term funding and ensure proper utilisation of resources is essential. Capacity building. Invest in education resources and training for coaches and instructors on inclusive practices and build capacity of schools and community groups to offer inclusive opportunities. Empower families and provide guidance on accessing suitable activities. Implicit assumption. Sport and recreation organisations, local authorities, schools and communities will develop the capacity to deliver inclusive programs effectively. There are probably no surprises to those within the disability sport and recreation sector with these assumptions. It reflects the underpinning assumptions many people and organisations in the disability sport and recreational sector make, that then form the basis of plans. Making assumptions about the future is natural and necessary. However, there are no facts about the future. What has always been true might not continue to be true. Recognizing the assumptions we hold can be the foundation for renewed hope and a sense of possibility. If we leave room for the idea that what we think will happen might not come to pass, we can prepare for a range of possibilities and consider how we might create what does not yet exist. Most impactful disruptors to disability sport / recreation. Sport NZ has identified 31 phenomena as causing the most disruption to the future of sport and recreation in New Zealand. Disruptors. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/y4jjpjdw. Of these, Disability Sport and Recreation Survey representatives identified the following as potentially most disruptive to the sector. Workforce changes. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/2pc2jy5p. The play, active recreation and sport sector will be subject to the same forces, e.g. demographic, shaping other workplaces. Challenging for the paid sector, these will prove particularly challenging for the key volunteer support groups. Social wellbeing policy. Click on the link, https://tinyurl.com/bddfm66z. The political hue of the government will determine the direction of social wellbeing policies, for example social assistance, housing, etc., and can affect the individual's ability to participate in sport and recreation. Individual wellbeing. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/25jmpu3b. Health trends in New Zealand, often associated with lifestyle patterns, indicate chronic morbidities, for example diabetes, will be a significant concern over the coming decades. Sport and recreation are likely to become more important as health systems look to continue evolving beyond disease response to wellbeing support. Social resilience. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/5n7bsput. Changing patterns of social resilience that are associated with levels of trust, changing social values and world views. For example, there is increasing awareness and acceptance of neurodiversity. Reflects debates within New Zealand around the collective support of common norms and rules. Status of public funding. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/4fc4rdhn. Managing the government's finances will be challenged by a multitude of global and domestic challenges arising from the pandemic aftermath, geopolitical tensions and climate demands. Potential moves between orthodox and heterodox economic policies will determine future funding status. Inequality. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/fy4ydprv. Socioeconomic inequalities, while primarily associated with financial measures, also include the digital divide determining access to digital products and services so vital to full participation in contemporary New Zealand. Those with a disability often face access and financial barriers. Governance response. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/yc6sb9cm. The desire for realignment, reform and disestablishment of respective government agencies will remain an ongoing trend. Reforms in health, local government and education, for example, all have the potential to influence Helberg, PNZ, SONZ and regional disability sport organisations. Disposable income. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/32wnv6c6. Focused on the economic position of New Zealand households given the wider economic context. Levels of income and trends of indebtedness are key factors in New Zealanders' ability to participate in sport and recreation. The changing nature of work. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/mra3mp53. Even before the pandemic, the idea of a stable career and retirement was threatened by changing job patterns and increased longevity. Together with more transient employment contracts and the emergence of automation, the future of work is looking increasingly complex. Athlete and participant well-being. Click on the link https://tinyurl.com/yc36ww68. The pressures on athletes and participants continue to intensify with implications for both physical and mental health. It will remain a critical dimension to the future competition environment with psychological awareness, changing social context, and appropriate use of technologies, for example biometric data, all part of the mix.